Elizabeth Elliot says, "If you dwell on your own feelings about things, rather than dwelling on the faithfulness, the love, and the mercy of God, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe," she says, "because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about living in company with Christ. A woman said to me one day, "But I can't live in company with Christ if my husband doesn't." I know of two women who have been divorced. Well, one is separated. I think she's heading for a divorce. One of them is divorced for the same reason. Two women for the same reason. Because he wasn't spiritual enough. Now, there is a basic fallacy in that idea. It's a fallacious idea that others can prevent my spiritual growth. Nobody in this world can prevent your spiritual growth. That is something that takes place in wherever you happen to be with God. You and God are the only ones that have anything to do with your spiritual growth. I'm not saying that people can't help each other to grow spiritually. And we may certainly do anything but encourage people. But there is no way that a husband who is not a Christian or is not being obedient or is not a spiritually minded man can actually prevent another person from doing the will of God. One of these women said, "I can't do the will of God and stay with this man." And she told me a long, sad tale about all the things that he was doing that were wrong, and certainly if her story was true, he was doing a good many wrong things. But you know the poem that says, "Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage. The spirit is free. All who would live godly in Christ Jesus," the Bible says, "shall suffer persecution." Just because we are suffering persecution is certainly no reason why we can't live godly in Christ Jesus. All who want to walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to have to carry a cross. The more tribulations we find, the greater the supply of grace on which to draw. No one fails to do the will of God because of lack of favorable conditions. You remember that I said several days ago that holiness takes place in the context of where we live. We don't need special conditions in order to become holy. We don't live in company with Christ only if we happen to live in a monastery or if our job takes us to work with Christian people. Any situation whatsoever is potentially a place where you can live in company with Christ. All conditions, in other words, are favorable for our growth in godliness, for even the worst adversities are under His control. We are held, as I tell you every day, in the everlasting arms. We are loved with an everlasting love. Nothing changes that. No conditions can bar me from walking in company with Christ. Now, as I sat and talked with that woman who was leaving her husband because he was preventing her from doing the will of God, I, of course, reminded her that she had promised to love him for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, in poverty or riches. And she said, "Yes, but he is not doing so-and-so, and he is doing this and that and the other thing, and there's just no way that I can continue to live with him as a Christian wife." And I said, "But your promise was to him before God forever, for better or for worse. Well, but of course she didn't know it was going to be this bad. But God is there with the strength that we need, with the grace that we need to fulfill our vows. Jesus always carries the heaviest end of the cross. That's what Samuel Rutherford said back in the 17th century. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must give up your right to yourself and take up your cross and follow me. But when I take up my cross, let me remember that he carries the heaviest end of it. Do I hear someone saying, not for me, he doesn't? Well, have you learned really to take up the cross willingly? I had a letter from someone who said, I thought I only had to believe in submission. This was from a woman who had heard me talk about wives submitting to their husbands. She said, I thought I only had to believe in submission, but I heard you talk, and I found out that I had to make some sacrifices. Boy, was my husband relieved. I got a bang out of that letter. The cost of holiness. What is it? My soul? My life? My all? Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. But if I give to God my soul, my life, and all, what have I lost? Do I really think I'm going to lose something? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 10 says, he died for us, so that awake or asleep, we might live in company with him. And parenthetically, there's a word of comfort for those of you who love someone who is perhaps senile or in a coma. If that person knew Jesus Christ before they slipped beyond your reach mentally, isn't it a comfort to realize that he died for us so that awake or asleep, we might live in company with him? Amy Carmichael used to pray, and she wrote a prayer in the form of a poem in which she actually prayed that her very dreams would be found about God's business on some holy ground. Why shouldn't we live in company with him, awake or asleep? But if you have nightmares, don't let that give you a guilty conscience. I'm one of those people, too, that has nightmares every once in a while, and I certainly wouldn't want to tell you what I dreamed last night. But certainly in my waking hours, I pray that I may be conscious of living in company with him, and I believe that he holds me, whether I'm awake or asleep. The context of holiness is that we must live in love, wherever we are. Live in love as Christ loved you and gave himself up on your behalf as an offering and a sacrifice. Ephesians 5, verse 1. As children copy their fathers, you, as God's children, are to copy him. Live your lives in love, the same sort of love which Christ gives us and which he perfectly expressed when he gave himself up for us in sacrifice to God. Where are we to grow in holiness? Here, in this home, in this marriage, in this workplace, in this school, in this neighborhood. This is the place, and no other, where the corn of wheat is to die. The context of holiness is the place where we are right now. The conditions of holiness: renunciation, let go of the old life, die to it, renounce it. New life cannot be produced without the death of the old. Think of your own life. You know its difficulties. You know your besetting sins. You know your lowest point. You know your place of greatest inadequacy and weakness. Are you ready to renounce them and to give them up entirely to the one who can handle them? There are always things to be let go. I had a letter from a friend who told me of terrible difficulties that she was having in forgiving her husband for one particular thing that he had done. And it wasn't until she actually opened her hands physically, imagining that thing that her husband had done in her hands, and she had been clutching them with clenched fists and white knuckles, and in effect, cherishing them, going over them in her mind and her memory, making lists of all these dreadful things, making her own list of things that I can do to get back at him, or ways in which I can call his attention to what he's done. And she said, you know, the Lord showed me that the time had come for me to open my hands and let go of that. I don't know what my listener may be clutching today. Perhaps it's a resentment against somebody. Perhaps it's a child who is going his own way, and you have not been willing to turn that child over to God. I'm speaking of, say, a late teenage or early 20s child who is now an adult in God's sight. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's possessions. Maybe it's your privacy, your rights of some sort. Are you ready to renounce? One of the conditions of holiness is renunciation. If you want to be my disciple, you give up your right to yourself. Turn over the rights to the one who can handle them, and the one who loves you more than anyone will ever love you, Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.